Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, William Benson, joined as always by my going to Friday Night Magic and doing pretty well for himself, I guess, even though, you know, five people were there, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you tonight, sir?
Hey, a W's a W. You take them where you can get them, so I'll take them.
Listen, these days, not for nothing, the W's are definitely in regards to Miami Dolphins because, oh, do we suck. We just suck. So
you're better than the Bengals.
Yeah, so let's get right into tonight's show. And look at that, we didn't have any upkeep, so
main phase.
Listen, I'm gonna
Cast stasis.
Huh?
I cast stasis. We skipped the untap.
So listen, guys, I'm just gonna be brutally honest with you all, first of all. Like, we almost have nothing tonight. Like, as far as content goes, don't turn off, because I think these are the kind of shows where anything can happen. So I want to encourage you to hang out. We have our doc up, and things we're going to go over tonight is pretty much we're going to talk about Aramis's Friday Night Magic experience. I didn't have one. Our son was home. We could talk about taking him back a day early, thank goodness, because we would have been stuck in the storm. And then we're going to talk a little bit about a paywall for Star City Games. Moving on to combat was suggested by one of our listeners, Justin. He sent in an email, and it was interesting. So we're definitely going to go through that. And I think we're going to be combating Justin through email, which is just weird. And then in our second main phase, we're going to talk about the new Pioneer bannings that came out. I'm kind of wondering if they're going too far with bannings. I really feel that, you know, I like the weekly bannings, and you know, I'm all for being a little bit aggressive as far as things. Well, you know, that's for that phase, and then talk maybe historic popper if we've got time. And then at the last thing we're going to do tonight is the iTunes review drawing. So we do have some drawings here. We've got three packs to give away to one lucky listener. So stick around. But with that, I mean, Aramis, how did? Well, first of all, even though we didn't untap, you know, my invisible beer. Sam Adams Boston or Winter Lager. So I had three or four of those on Thanksgiving, and let me tell you, that was a night. But Aramis, yeah, how was your weekend?
It wasn't bad. During the week of the holiday, I had my brother-in-law was in town, and he is a new Magic player. He sort of started the last time he visited a couple of months ago. Hasn't really had a chance to play too much in the interim. So he came back up, and he's like, listen, man, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to need a refresher on this. So we played a few games, and I invited him to come with me to Friday Night Magic. Just, you know, if he could have played if he wanted to, but he said, I think it's probably best at this point if I just observe. He says, I'm not comfortable with the rules yet. And I can understand that because, you know, when we played, you know, Kitchen Table Magic, I had to remind him that, you know, creatures can't attack other creatures.
Well,
that, you know,
does he play like a Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. Or Pokemon sort of thing?
Nope. This is his first foray into card games. I wasn't going to corrupt his pure mind with other inferior card games.
Well, no, it's the attacking other cards thing. That's a very Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, it's kind of an intuitive thing if you think about it, that, you know, hey, I want to get through, but I have to kill your guys first, so let me do that. So I can see where he's coming from with that. So, you know, but he's a quick study. He's super excited about learning how to play. He said maybe not his next visit, but the visit after, he might actually enter the Friday Night Magic tournament with me, which
would be
cool.
Well, that would be good. When's he coming back up? I'll try to be there for that night.
He'll be back down around Christmas time, and then I think again after that,
summer,
like maybe March.
Oh, okay.
He stops by a few times a year for a week,
Must be
I
nice.
Might build him a standard deck if he doesn't have a big enough collection at that point.
Right.
So he'll have something to play. It was fun. You know, he came by. Parking was a nightmare because they were having a Christmas lights parade with, like, you know, the fire trucks all covered in the Christmas lights and everything. That was going on at the exact same time the tournament started. So, I had to park like a block and a half away and walk. And set up because there's a parking lot like right across the street, but they blocked all that off. They blocked up all the side streets, and I was like, oh well, crap, I didn't know this was happening tonight. So 20 minutes later, finally find a parking spot, and so we get there, and it was a free tournament this weekend.
Oh.
Because of Black Friday and all that. They were having a Black Friday sale. It was at Kerwin's, so that's where it was. I think it's over now, or, you know, it'll be
over
in 5 hours.
I think their sale's over by now. They haven't been open in 2 days since the weather. So
there was discounts on booster packs and supplies. It was like 3 for $10 on standard booster packs.
Oh shit.
They had like a 25% or like maybe 15% off box sets or something like that. Supplies were like 10% off. Singles were like 5% off. It was really cool. So I picked up like a couple of little cheap cards that I needed to wrap up the deck that I brought, which was Esper 1. And there were only 6 people that signed up for the event. I think largely because of the holiday weekend. And I went 3-0.
You and your damn Esper.
Hey, it's fun.
It's not fun for anybody playing you.
I actually played creatures in this deck. There's creatures in the deck.
Okay, well, that's new. That's okay. Just for that, I'm going to start playing a non-fun deck. Somebody get me an oven deck.
cat food. But yeah, I went 3-0, it was the deck played really well. I was really happy with the way that it played. Couple of games, like the first, I will say this, I was actually fairly lucky to go 3-0 because I played against a sacrifice deck game one, or match one, and it was Daniel, and he punted away game two, and he got kind of color or slash mana screwed game three, and I was able to take him down. And then the second round, my opponent just had terrible mana again, and then I played Josh round three, and he was playing a white weenie deck.
Shocker. And he's playing something unusual.
Yeah, and he thought I was playing the Esper Stax deck, so when I started playing out creatures, he was like, oh, okay, what's this? And then I was like, yeah, your deck has small creatures. Mine loves killing small creatures, so this will be fun.
Well, I'm just glad you got away from Stax, man, because that just is unfriendly and just... It deserves...
Well, this deck has a nice way to build it. Like I said, it's Esper 1, so it's Esper Hero, basically. But I guess they're calling it Esper 1 now because of Rogue 1. Sort of basing it off the Star Wars thing, and it's the hero of Precinct 1, so they're like, oh, hey! So a nice little Star Wars tie-in for you. And basically what it does is it's sort of, you know, you try to get a hero on the board as soon as you can, get to Ferry and, you know, at Othakaya, all that stuff to protect it. You're getting little dirtly 1-1 tokens and stuff, and you eventually drop Bolas's Citadel. And you just start casting crazy spells off the top of your deck, gaining a bunch of life, and you just overwhelm your opponent. And it's hilarious. So,
it's hilarious for you.
It's great. I didn't get to blow it up to do 10 damage, but it was fun.
I feel horrible for you. I really do. So I actually really don't. I'm glad, you know. First of all, when we played earlier today on Arena and you tried to... I was like, all right, this is kind of... Then you told me your win count. I'm like...
Yeah, we had to cut that short because my dinner was ready, so I had to go.
Yeah,
I think you honestly had the clear cut advantage game one. I feel like I didn't draw as well as I should have or could have, but although you were digging for your Mayhem Devils, you only had the one.
Yeah, and I have like four in there.
Yeah, so I mean we both had suboptimal draws, but I think yours was better for the grindy game that it turned into.
Exactly.
But I think. Over a course of a 3-game match, I think I have the advantage because I think my sideboard is really good against that, but we'd have to play again to really find out.
Right. And that's just not going to happen. No, but yeah, I've been kind of playing around with the oven decks. You know, and here's Josh listening. Yes, Josh, when I come in 2 weeks, I'll probably have an oven deck. Be ready. But yeah, I want to say a shout out to those guys. They've probably had a really hard losing Sunday and Monday. You know, has to suck. I mean, for those of you that don't know, the Northeast, and Aramis and I obviously are in the Northeast, has been crippled by this lovely thing we like to call a snowstorm. It was awful. I actually ended up staying home today, which is very rare for me, but literally could not get the car out of the driveway. So I ended up working, and a lot of people did. I don't think there were too many people on center. So I spent the day trying to figure out how I was going to get out, and then when I realized I wasn't, I did some work from home, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Played a little Arena, played a little Star Wars Galaxies. I found a emulated Star Wars Galaxy server.
Ooh.
And I loved that game. It was the first MMO I ever played, so I've been playing that all weekend. I've been leveling up a guy again, and I'm just like, forgot how much I love this game. I'm like,
see, that again really shows the difference between our personalities and how I'm a control player. My first MMO was Final Fantasy XI.
Well, and you want I played Galaxies, then I got into Warcraft. But I always kept going back to Galaxies every like 2 or 3 months. You know,
you're really big on Star Wars anyway.
Oh yeah,
so.
It's just it. You know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I played Star Trek Online for a while, and I was like, I really want to get back into it, but it's like I hate starting over.
Yeah, it is kind of like starting over. So, but yeah, I will be back there a week from this Friday because this is Kid Weekend. The week after that, I told Wendy. Which is nice because my son will be home. I can't bring him because I'm going to bring the students for their last week before the winter break. But we'll be there the 13th. And I'm trying to decide whether I want to play Jund or Rakdos. I like Rakdos a little bit. I like the consistency. I like the fact that the mana is there. And I like things that, like the... whatever it is about your child, take your child or whatever. Like the fact that I can grab a creature off of you...
Oh, claim the firstborn.
Yeah, claim the firstborn. Grab that creature, do something with it, hit you with it, and then hit the oven and sack it? Big fan. Huge fan.
How morbid is that? I'm going to take your baby. I'm going to hit you over the head with your baby, and then I'm going to throw your baby in the oven.
Yeah.
And bake it.
And bake it.
And then eat it.
So.
That's just... feed it to the cat. I'm going to feed the freaking baby to the cat after I cook it.
Oh, it's amazing. So, I mean, that's I did try Jund food today. I'll play it for a little bit. I put it together in paper. It's not bad. It's just a little. It's a different type of play.
It's a little grindier.
Yeah, it is a little grindier, and that's why I'm not sure if I like it or not.
Well, it plays a lot better in paper than it does in Arena.
Probably.
Click.
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 So, you know, that's our Friday night. Again, Kerwin's in Catskill. Great store. Hashtag not sponsored. But, I mean, Kerwin's is amazing. You know, we're going to try to get down there. I want to take Wendy down there before the holidays. She wants to finish some shopping. Oh, my God. Dude, I went nuts. I went nuts this weekend. I've got the kids. Each of them get I can't say. Damn it. I put this in Nicholas's thing. Never mind. But Nicholas came home. And anyway, there's magic stuff. They know that. Nicholas came home. He brought his vampire deck back. I'm like, well, sit down. We'll try it. You know, you can play with that. You don't have to play with standard. We'll try this, and I'll play a standard deck. And so I played. First, I played him with the the other one there. Simic Flash. And he's like, oh, I like this. He's a control player. Nicholas is kind of a little. He likes the thought of like not letting you do things and doing things on your turn and.
Excellent.
Yeah, so he was playing. He actually is putting that together in Arena. He's playing Arena. I didn't realize he's playing Arena so much. Like, we went and bought him a new computer, and he leans over to me, and he just goes, this can play Arena, right? Because I want to play Arena. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it'll play it. So,
good.
And then he sat there, and I realized that when we set him up, I never got him any of the starter sets or anything. So I had my card, and I'm just like, all right, here's a starter set. Here's 20 packs. Here's this set. Here's 10 more packs. Go to town. And he did. He created his own version of it. I mean, he doesn't have all the rares because he doesn't have a lot of the wild cards. He's literally doing the FTP. And
that's fine.
Free to play.
He'll get there.
So
it's just if he grinds and he's even moderately successful, he'll get tons of wild cards.
So we had a good time with that. He's really excited. I wanted him to go Friday night, I think because he was only home this weekend and it was his dad's weekend. And he has a 2-year-old sister at his dad's. So he was kind of like, nah, maybe not this week. So I'm like, okay, but when you're back, I'll take you to a Friday night. Because Matthew's like, we're going. When are we going back? I want to go back. I'm like, listen, son, I need those. I'm going to have to take those Stomping Grounds and the Questing Beasts back. Yeah.
I was just thinking about that, is that there is probably a decent chance that I will not have played a single copy of Stomping Grounds for the entire time that they're legal.
Listen, I might. You want to make a trade for them or anything? You just want to loan them to me? My kid loves to play like Gruul, but I'm like, especially if I'm doing Jund, it's like, sorry, boy. Papa has needs.
I think I haven't played Blood Crypt either.
I play Blood Crypt. I've got 7 Blood Crypts. 7!
Offload a few. You only need 4.
Yeah, I know.
Or 5, depending on how you want to do it.
I would do 5, but yeah. I should offload a few.
Or even, you know, give them to your kids.
Well, they don't play red and black. I mean, Nicholas might, because then I played him with the oven deck, and he got giddy. Because he doesn't have a play group there yet. He has this little group. They do, like, board games and stuff. And they've got guys that play Magic there. So he's telling me, you know, he's like, yeah, they'll play Magic. He's like, when I was playing with my vampire deck, they were cussing me out. I'm like, I know. Like, so it's also, they're not metaing it up. So I've been thinking, like, I'm like, maybe I should put together a Rakdos deck to send you back with. Here, have a cat oven deck. But when he goes back, the new set will be out, so.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Like, the fact that they're all into it. My wife is really into playing. So, you know, and it's kind of cool. And, I mean, we said this before we went on the air, but, Pam, I'm legit. We need to have you guys over. Like, we'll have you over. Wendy would love to teach Pam how to play. Like, and Wendy's actually a pretty good instructor, so we could.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be. I'm hoping to be able to get her just at least to figure out the rules at this point, and then get a few games under her belt. And then I was thinking that if I end up really teaching her how to play, I think I might just get her like a commander deck.
I don't think Nicholas is watching. I can't see who's watching. Nicholas, if you're watching, turn this off for the next 2 minutes. Okay, great. Yeah, his dad. I ran into his dad at Walmart, and his dad's like, "What do I get him?" And I'm like, "I had bought Matthew, or I had bought Nicholas a commander deck." And so he's like, "Well, what do I get Matthew?" I'm like, "Get him this other one." So they're both gonna dabble into commander, and I'm like,
"Yeah." And like, I was looking at it, and I was thinking, I was like, you know, one of the things that sort of draws Pam into it is like the fantasy aspect, and especially fairies and things like that. And I was like, well, I mean, I could get her like the Alayla Brawl deck.
Wendy loves that deck. She loves it.
But then she could build a commander deck off of that, or even Una.
Yeah.
So it could be done. So I have to figure out how I want to play it, but I have to get her into it first, and that's been the hardest part.
I got to get a couple more Core. I got to get one more Core Vault. I've got two, so I need
opened,
one more.
Opened one in a collector booster, so I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you and I could talk. So,
I said one, and you know me, I'm a collector, so I have to have
it. No, you don't. You stop it. You trade with me. I'm playing it. It's going to see play. It's not going to sit in your little dusty binder on your back there in your wall.
If I build a brawl deck, it's going to be Corvold.
Which, by the way, the listeners have spoken. Get a damn green screen.
Yeah, well, you know, Christmas is coming.
It's funny. It was the vice president of IT for our company. She's like, I don't know who that other guy is you talk to. She's like, but your background, you got stuff going on, and it's all sorts of fun. She's like, I'm tired of looking at his closet.
That's actually the door to the hallway. So it's not even a closet.
Yeah, so I couldn't stop laughing, though. I was giggling like a little schoolgirl. I got to work on this, actually, over the break. I got to change it up because some things are falling down. And you can see, like, there's a line in it and stuff, so.
You should, like, paint the wall.
I thought about it. I may do that. I may actually just go ahead and, because it's black underneath it, I think I can do it rather easily because it's just chalkboard paint. Because this used to be Isabel's room, so it's just chalkboard. And I could actually probably just get the right color chalk. And
that's a lot of chalk.
That's going to take a lot of time, too. I'm going to get a carpal tunnel. So.
And it's going to be, you know, you can have these weird little black holes in the middle of it because you're not covering evenly. It's no.
So, but with that, I mean, you know, so I'm really excited for him to come home, and we're going to have a really good, you know, holiday and stuff like that. So there'll be a lot of magic going on here. But it's one of those things, too, that I wanted to talk about tonight. And again, this is just our cornucopia show, folks. This is whatever the heck we're going to do here, because really nothing happened with Wizards last week. It was just kind of like, well, it's Thanksgiving. So SCG, Star City Games, has, and it just came to my attention tonight. Why don't you go ahead and take us out on this one, Aramis, because you brought it to my attention.
Well, about a week and a half ago, and I don't know if they'd been planning this for a while and were dropping hints or not, but I was a pretty regular visitor to their webpage to read their articles, the ones that weren't behind, that weren't premium.
Right.
So they had, like, select articles that you could read from, like, I think I'm saying this right, Shaheen Sirani and a bunch of, like, you know, Emma Handy and a bunch of other writers for their site, players. They would write articles and you could read them. And I was like, oh, great. So I went there about a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden, all of their articles are premium. So they made this change where premium was already a thing you could do. And you would get discounts, and you would get articles from, like, PBDR.
Right.
Or, you know, other, like, really high-end pros. And I was like, all right, whatever. You know, if I wanted to read them, I can, you know, wait a while or whatever. But now all of their articles from every single one of their writers is premium. So you have to pay the monthly subscription, which is about $8 a month. And if you don't want to pay that, you have to wait a week before you can read the articles. Now, I hate to say it, and I mean, I loved reading their articles, but now it's like, I'm not really sure I'm going to be looking at their website that much anymore, because I could pay the $8 a month, but I'd really would rather not, because I can read free articles on Channel Fireball. I can read free articles on MTG Goldfish. I can read free articles on, you know, Wizards' main website, EtherHub, MTG Nexus. They're all free, but now with Star City Games, I have to pay.
Yeah. And listen, they have wonderful content. They do. It's $8 a month, and I get this, that you pay more than that for coffee, and you pay more than that for this, that, or the other thing. And I don't want to slam another content creator. And I don't fault anyone for trying to make money, okay? I really don't. Now, you know, we're a small podcast. There's going to come a day where monetization may happen as far as for profit, which I think $8 a month behind a paywall, you go from doing content to pay for itself to be self-sufficient and to being a profit center. Again, I'm a capitalist. Not a big problem for me. All right, you want to make money? I have no problem. However, you need to... I don't like paywalls. I just don't naturally. I think that something like, especially with, I think we talked about this before the show, it's like, you know, I have friends in journalism, and you know, they have a right to make a living. They went to school for it. They, you know, some of them had loans at Syracuse University that are 10 times the loans I had. And I get it. I understand it. And I'm supportive of it. In that regard, in that, you know, they're having to compete with the internet and free news, and then to put all their content that they would print into a paper that you would pay for online, they should see a piece for that. I can understand that. And I can understand the time it takes somebody to write an article and, you know, to put a deck list up. But then again, I look at this and go, if it's just a deck list and a sideboard guide, like, you're already doing it. You're doing it not because of Star City Games. You're doing it because you're at an event trying to win an event, and you're sharing your information, and it's knowledge sharing. And that's something that's always been a part of this. You know, was InQuest a paywall? Kind of. You had to pay for the magazine.
Yeah.
So I was prepared to go off on this. And now I'm starting to talk myself into understanding why it's happening. I just don't like it. I don't like $8. I don't like $100 a year. Like, let me put it to you this way. I will not pay that much for my Disney Plus. And I'm going to get one hell of a lot more enjoyment out of Disney Plus than I am out of Star City Games' articles.
And I think for me, one of the biggest gripe that I have, and everything that you said is valid. They have every right to do this, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. The problem is doing it with articles of a game that changes as rapidly as Magic does. They write this article on Monday. If you have to wait a week to read it, if you don't want to fork over the money,
I actually think it's 30 days.
Old news. It's 7 days.
Is it seven? Okay, I thought it was 30.
It's 7 days. It's a week after you write the article, then it becomes available for everyone to read. But if it's a standard deck list with a standard, you know, with the sideboard guide and everything, as fast as the meta's been changing over the last couple of months, it's old news. It's obsolete. And a lot of those decisions would have changed because the metagame would have had a chance to see it and react and adapt to it. So I understand what they're doing, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. It's just, for me personally, sort of like what you said, if I'm going to pay $8 a month for something, I want to get more than just a bunch of articles. And yeah, they have some discounts attached to it. You can get some discounts on singles and supplies, da 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 da. But I don't know. For me, it's like, maybe it's just I'm not ready to accept that this is the way things are going, because it's always been free.
Right.
Like, Channel Fireball is still largely free for pretty much everything that they have. MTG Goldfish is largely free. The Mothership is free. There's a bunch of other websites out there that are still free for Magic content. Maybe it, you know, it's probably not on the same level as Star City Games, although, you know, Channel Fireball's pretty good. But I don't know. For me, it's just, it's not something that I can see myself doing right now. Maybe at some point in the future, but right now, no.
Well, and I mean, I subscribe to their Twitch, and maybe that's it. But that's part of my problem, too, is the nickel and diming that's occurring. If you want to comment on their Twitch stream, you have to be a sponsor. Now, you can use your Prime Day sponsorship for that if you want, because every Prime member has one sponsorship in Twitch.
Oh, the subscription. Yeah.
So you have to do that. But I like to do that for Magic proper if I'm watching it, because I, you know, and again, I don't comment all the time. I think that's part of the problem is, like, for me, it's kind of like I don't really want to talk on the Twitch channel until you mother huckers tell me I can't. Now I got tons to say. No, I mean, and I understand that that's the American in me, but I really do feel, too, not just that, but it's not just the metagame articles and all of that. I mean, here's the thing. It's almost like saying if you want a leg up on your competition, you should pay for this. So, and I, well, then again, they're assigning a value to their deck list that's winning events. I get that, but then you go to MTG Goldfish, yeah, and there it is.
It's right there. Yeah. Yeah, it's right there anyway. So you don't get the sideboard guide. You don't get the strategies as to, oh, well, this is why I put this card in the deck. You don't get the tournament reports, which, I mean, that might not be super relevant. But it's just, I think, it just doesn't seem to fit this as much. I mean, like I said, they had been doing it already, but it wasn't all of their writers.
Right.
Now it's every single one.
And it's $8 a month. But, and they're like, well, look at what you get, though. You get this and that and that and this. You get 5% off sealed products, 10% off singles, 15% off supplies. Okay, what's your markup is my first question. Because Amazon, it's funny like that. Like Prime, yeah, you don't pay for shipping. But a lot of their stuff is a little bit higher sometimes. They know where to put their, to pad their margins. And again, that's good business. But I'm looking at this and it's just, it just seems wrong in some regards. And, you know, you should have some things for the good of this used to be, and we refer to it as the community. The Magic the Gathering community. Like, when something happens to one of us, we all go up in arms. I mean, Autumn Burchett and the whole thing with changing her talks, or changing their tokens and everything, and what happened there, and everybody was up in arms about them being yelled at. And because, and we kept saying that this isn't what our community does. And then what Star City Games is doing is saying, well, we like the community, but we're going to make you pay to get this in. How soon until then does MTG Goldfish have to do this to compete? You know,
I really hope this isn't the first of a trend.
That's just it. And there's enough nickel and diming going on in Magic nowadays. I mean, we've got a Secret Lair set that dropped today, which, guess what? Never even thought about spending $200 for. Never even entered my mind. I was like, nope. You've got that's kind of nickel and diming you to death. You've got, any number of different little ancillary products, you know, things that they do on Arena. The stupid dragon, of all things. Like, and people are spending 2,000, like, gems, which is what, like, $10? For a stupid little dragon that sits on your screen that probably slows your client down?
I did not get the dragon.
No, of course you didn't. Neither did I. Do you know why? I know what $10 is. I could take $10 and go, like, we're being nickeled and dimed. And then to have Star City Games say, hey, we're only charging you $8 a month, but look at what you're getting. And there is value there. But like I said, $7 a month gets me Disney Plus, you know, and my whole family can enjoy it. $8, and that's probably part of it, too, is that from a familial standpoint, from the head of my household, and forgive me, I don't mean that in a misogynistic sense, but I'm the primary breadwinner for my family. I'm the one who brings home money and makes sure that my house is running. You know, Christmas and all that. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to pay $8 a month for Star City Games Premium, the only person, even my family who loves Magic, the only person, though, who's going to benefit from that money and from that service is me.
And that's really only if you read every article, right. If you think about it, because a lot of, you know, some of their articles are about standard, some of them are about modern, some of them are about legacy, vintage, pioneer. If you don't play those formats, those articles are basically burned money for you. So I think, and again, I mean, I really hate to make it sound like we're bashing Star City Games, because they run the SCG Open. They're a great tournament scene.
I love their coverage. I love everything about them until this. It's the first time I've ever had anything even remotely, I'm not going to say negative. I'm going to say
critical. Yeah. It kind of rubs me the wrong way, and I can't put my finger exactly on why. And it's one of those things that I feel like they didn't have to do this. At least not expand it as far as they did, because, you know, I look forward to Shaheen Sirani's articles on Esper stuff and Control in general. But now I got to wait a week and hope that the deck tech and whatever it is still legit.
Right.
But then again, if he tweets it, it's right there.
And it is definitely something to consider. And I mean, again, if you, maybe that's part of it. Maybe this is kind of what our podcast is. I mean, it's in the tagline. This is a show by casuals, for casuals. So as a casual, am I going to spend $7.99 a month to, you know, read the exclusive access to Star City Games content to get this 5% off on all Magic cards? Which, guess what, folks? You want 5% off Magic products? Shameless plug. You want 5% off Magic products? Put in a bill code Planestalkers on Kerwin's Game Store on their website. You'll get 5% off. Don't have to pay us a dime. Planestalkers. Look at that. See what I did there? That's good.
Nice. Yeah. Well, nice pivot.
You know, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great.
It's almost like I'm Puffemal. So.
Well, and the thing is, too, is like, if you're a casual, what is this going to allow you to do?
Right.
Go 3-4-0 at your next FNM?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not, if you don't digest the information correctly.
Yeah, and that's just it. This is like, okay, you know what this is? This is like paying to go to the library.
Yeah.
Like, you take your books up front. You know, like, I'd like a library card, please. Absolutely. We're going to charge you $5 a month. Whether or not you take any books out, we're just going to zap your card for $5 a month. It's literally like the YMCA. I'm getting zapped $60 a month. You want to know how many times I've been there since the day we signed up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad we did that. So glad we did that. Oh, but anyway, and it bears noting, by the way, my wife has joined the podcast and wanted us to know that regards to spending money about buying the Secret Lair, never entered my mind because I knew she's watching. And you know what? I know. My wife's watching, and she's watching us right now. So we should say what her Christmas present is. It's going to be a Lego Death Star playset. Yeah, I'm going for the whole thing.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really important for her. She's going to get into Legos now. So, but no, I mean, and again, this isn't us bashing Star City Games. And not that I suspect that we're even close to being on Star City Games' radar. No. But if somebody from Star City Games or whatever runs across this podcast or this Facebook video, I mean, just understand that we're not trying to be critical here. I guess that's part of it. It's like we are an interesting subset of this culture in that you and I are middle-aged men who have families and have, you know, we're not on fixed incomes, but neither do we have just oodles of money to spend on Magic. Right. You know, if I was a single guy and had this job and I was about 15 years younger and didn't have a car payment, didn't have mortgage and electric.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah.
But I mean, the fact is, it's hard enough for me. I'm really considering doing things like shutting off Sirius and, you know, just trying to slim down a little bit more. You know, it's just not cool. So that's what that is. But you know what? Let's get right into combat. This is going to turn into a full hour show. This is great. But
combat phase.
We do have some combat here in that Justin, one of our listeners, he contacted us on Wednesday. It must be when he downloaded the show. He wrote literally a book It has chapters.
Woof, yes, he did. Holy yeah. crap. Hey, you know what? It's probably a better book than War of the Spark Forsaken.
Oh, everything's better than War of the Spark Forsaken. And I'm pretty sure nobody started this as a bisexual and became... Never mind. But anyway... so I'm going to go ahead and read this out. And Justin, you know, he's saying, you know, we'll just start right off here. He says, it's a bit longer than usual, so please don't feel like you have to read or respond to all of it on the air. I'll put a TLDR at the end. I'll give you the TLDR. He feels that last week when we were talking about historic, and you and I had a pretty interesting idea as far as historic. We both, I don't want to say we thought it sucked, but, well, we thought it sucked. And,
Sucked is a very strong term. I'm just extremely disappointed with the rollout and support that the format's been given.
All right, I can get behind that. So his TLDR was basically, and for those of you who are as old as I am, I only found out about the TLDR like 2 months ago. So TLDR stands for too long, colon, didn't read. And the person who told me that was Aramis. So it's because I was like, what the hell is this TLDR thing? And you're like, wow, you're old. So his TLDR on this is historic is Diet Pioneer in the same way Brawl is Diet Commander. No, it's not. Them not pushing historic with rewards keeps the format from being a best deck only scenario because people aren't grinding for wins, but for fun with an exclamation point. That's why I did it that way. Okay. So this is his email here, and we may skip around a little bit. But he's basically saying that, you know, looks like you guys should have me on for combat next episode. Historic is awesome. Especially as someone who hasn't been in the game long enough to get into Pioneer deck building the way they have presented Historic. No rewards besides quests. Low key. Ghosted best of one play queue. Doesn't encourage people to play it. But that also means that people aren't net decking the format. So you don't hardly ever see the same deck twice. Historic is just the start of a much larger project that Windsurge plans to support. This is directly from the November state of the game. And then he quotes it, this is a long-term commitment that will eventually lead to additional format support beyond standard and historic. Pioneer is one of the formats that we're working towards, but it'll be a longer journey before we could talk specifics. And he goes on about, you know, you and I really had some problems with the cards that they added. He's suggesting historic Esper Dance with Phyrexian Arena for you and Mindstone. He's like, it doesn't break the deck, but it's much more capable than its standard counterpart. And then he pulls up some deck lists and things like that. He's making his point. And it's not a point that's for combat here. I mean, I don't want to go to combat against one of our listeners. Usually it's more fun when you and I go to combat. Mm-hmm. He's not totally wrong, but I still stand by what I said. And the reason that I'm going to stand by what I said is not just because of the cards they added, but because of what they left out. I played the closed beta. Okay, I was in this from literally day 3 or 4. Like, I managed to get in because I went to the pre-release for, I think it was Aether Revolt, where they were like, if you go and sign up now for the arena, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was Hours of Devastation. And so I went to that pre-release, and I got in right away, and I got into the private beta right away. And they started by putting in the cards from these sets. And then they went to backfill. They played, you know, Ixalan was in there, Rivals of Ixalan and all this when they launched. And then they started to backfill. They put in Hours of Devastation and Amonkhet first, and then they went ahead and put in Aether Revolt and Kaladesh. All right, so now you've got this standard, you know, this microcosm of standard, and they got the real standard going in Arena. Then they did Rotation last year, and... You know, they reset everybody's collection, which, you know, I'd already spent money on, to be quite honest. I bought a few gems. So, I mean, I got the gems back and I was able to use them. But it was very much, they reset everything. You know, those cards were completely removed from the game, never to be seen again, quote unquote. Problem is, they're still programmed, I imagine. I don't imagine they got rid of the code.
Yeah, they had to have.
You know, Justin, part of my frustration is that if you really wanted to make historic and you really wanted to do something bombastic with it, instead of just bringing these cards that, okay, yes, they are cards that can fill a certain spot. But let me be honest, during this historic event, I played Field of the Dead, Oko, with Fires. Why? Because those are the three best cards, period, in standard. And even with those historic cards, nothing changed. In fact, I just added a few to the deck. They didn't go far enough. it just basically, it honestly to me felt like them trying to justify their focus on standard when they realized 5 months ago that, oh crap, we're going to come up on rotation and everybody's going to be like, what about all these cards that we, you know, we spent gems and wild cards on to get, you know, for our collection, and now you're taking them away because of rotation and we can't play them at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why Historic exists, and I understand that. But it's not a good enough product in my mind. It's not enough for you to just give me 20 cards and say, here you go, and they sign. You can kind of sort of see things would that may work together, but there's not a lot of meta synergy that goes in there. So it's just not, well, it's not what I want to see, you know? And yeah, if they had brought back everything, Kaladesh, Aether Revolt, Hours of Devastation, and Amonkhet, bring those four in. Now, I'd have been all about it. I'd have been like, holy crap, I'm going to build Hezeret Red again. I'm going to use my, I would have used all of my wild cards again to get those cards that I love to play. I want Hezeret back. I want Earthshaker Kenra back. I want the Oncrop Crasher back. You know, I want God Pharaoh's Gift and to play that deck again. Like, there are so much great synergy there that if they had brought this stuff in, could you imagine God Pharaoh's Gift in a fire deck?
Hmm.
Like,
yeah,
just that's my problem, Justin. That's really the thing. And Aramis, I'm sorry I monopolized this. Please feel free to jump in.
You're preaching to the choir right now. I mean, here's my problem with Historic. And to understand my problem, you look at Pioneer. They announce this format, say, hey, it's back to these sets. We're going to do weekly bannings, and we're going to see how the format evolves naturally. There is absolutely zero reason that they could not have done this with Arena. Even if they just went back to, if Historic only started with Kaladesh, yeah, going forward, they could have said everything's legal for the first week. As an online-only product, they're able to turn on a dime, mm-hmm, and ban cards and do things like that.
Or erase the format. Or rat cards, even, at that point.
Yeah. I didn't care about that. It's just, if a card turns into a problem, ban it.
Right.
It's real quick. You give people a couple of wild cards, because they probably spent wild cards to get them. And then, instead of adding these tiny little cards, 10 or 15 cards at a rip, this is where your opportunity comes to code in older sets.
Right.
They already had, I mean, we've, again, another dead horse to beat. They've had parts of Dark Ascension coded into the program as of alpha or beta. So it's already somewhat there. There it is. There's the horse. So they could have, you know, spent some extra time, finished coding Dark Ascension, and...
You mean
Eldritch Moon, and... Here's what they could have done. Instead of doing these pauper historic events or these other historic events, do historic draft. Historic draft Kaladesh block. Historic draft Omnicat.
I don't like
block.
Drafts.
Historic draft.
I'm going to be honest with you. But I'm not good at them. I hate drafting.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me finish, though. This gives people an opportunity to acquire the cards without necessarily having to spend wild cards.
I get that.
You can also maybe make the packs available for a limited time on the online store. You make some extra money that way. If you're Wizards, you're making a bunch of extra money, because people could say, I could spend my wild cards or I could spend $30. One or the other. Right. Open some booster packs. You know, and then if you wanted to have other formats, like if they didn't want to spend their uncommon and common wild cards on cards from Kaladesh and Aether Revolt and what have you, if you have the draft events or whatever so they can build their collection, or they buy a bunch of packs from these old sets, when you have these pauper events for Historic, now all of a sudden they can say, okay, well, I have these cards now. I feel like... Obviously they're focusing on standard.
Right. And I get that.
And that's
their moneymaker.
That is their moneymaker.
And I love that they're going to bring Pioneer to this, and it is going to take probably, to get the sets that they're starting at now,
a few years.
Five. I don't see how you do it less than five, because don't forget, they still have to code four sets a year just on standard. Mm-hmm. So if you add... So what are there before this now? There's like 26 sets.
Something crazy like that, yeah.
So if they do if they can do four more in a year, so if they can double their production, okay, that would take for so that would take about 5 years to get that to be done in Pioneer, and Pioneer is up to date in Arena. So I get that. All right. What I don't understand is also like Historic. Okay, you can't sit there and tell me Historic is a stepping stone to Pioneer, because there are cards in Historic that are not going to be Pioneer legal unless they're reprinted in one of the core sets, which is probable, really, if you think about it.
Some of them yes, some of them no.
So, I mean, and again, Justin, you are one of our guys, man, and I do not mean to disparage you at all. Far from I don't disagree.
Here's the thing in the end, though. I mean, if he's having fun with Historic, that's awesome.
Right.
And I'm super happy for that. For me personally, it's just this is a missed opportunity for Wizards, and a fairly large one. And for me, it felt really obvious. And that, I think, is what kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of insults me the most, is that this was like a literal cash cow just waiting for them to harvest it. And they're just like, now we'll do this instead.
Yeah, and that, it is... It's Wizards. It's normal. You know, so, I mean, you got to understand, I'm not down on Historic. I don't mean to be down. And, I mean, this weekend, we're going to talk about Historic Pauper, which was the event they had this weekend. And it was a misfire. It was a misfire. Why not just have Pauper? You know, and I guess Historic Pauper is that. But it's just, it allowed the Rat deck to come back, of all damn things.
Yeah, they banned Persistent Petitioners, but not the rest.
It's just, yeah. So, I mean, in my personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion, okay, I would rather see them begin, if you're really going to sit, and again, part of this maybe too is that my history with Wizards is such that I don't want lip service. You do that very well. Okay, you want to show me something? If you really are saying we're going to move toward Pioneer, okay, then start putting these sets out that you already have coded. And here's the cool thing about it. You have four sets right now, four sets that are already coded. You're already a year ahead. You don't have to put in any more code. Now you'll have to test it. You'll need to put some time in because the mechanics of things in there. And that's part of it too. And I understand that the relational database, as far as mechanics, as far as things like Convoke, to go up against, I get how all of that works.
They already kind of did some of that, because remember when they did the Momir event, they tossed in a bunch of random crap.
And I think that's what Momir was. I think Momir was a test. Yeah. And some of Momir kind of went, whoa.
Some of it kind of went, but some of it worked pretty well. I mean, Grizzlebrand was
in
there.
I'm all for it. Okay. So here, that's my suggestion, is that if you're going to do this, you know, start soon. Start soon and say, or in our move to Pauper, or in our move to Pioneer, we want to go ahead and release this set now. And meanwhile, you're coding Eldritch Moon. Like you said, you got half of Eldritch Moon ready to go. And then when you're done with that, Innistrad, Return to Innistrad, whatever the hell it's called there, Shadows over Innistrad. Then behind that, you've got Duels. And behind that, or Origins. And behind that, you know, you can do the, and oh my gosh, you'll have Zendikar when you release Zendikar.
Yeah.
Like, they can do this. And so if they go that route, I'll stop being like such a jerk on Historic. But for right now, I'd rather they just open Brawl, because for me, Brawl is more fun.
Yes.
You know, for me, Brawl is more fun. And it's not about net decking. I don't care. I haven't net decked yet in regards to Historic. I went back and played the decks I like to play. I've created decks I like to play. Like I said, I made an Oko Fires because I'm like, I just want to see how those three things taste together. And I threw Hazard, or not Hazard, I threw something else in there just for kicks. You know, it's, I highly, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And Aramis is right. If you're having fun with it, at no point do I want you guys, any of our listeners, to feel that if we are being, you know, somewhat critical, that we're being critical of you. It's not that. It just ain't our cup of tea, but I'm glad it's yours. And if it is yours, then email us right away and let us know that, because, you know, I hope we've at least shown, you know, the other side of this argument that you've given us, because I'm glad that you did, because, you know, I would have sat here just thinking I'm totally right. So, but with that, let's get out of combat. You know, right into
main phase.
Let's get into our second main phase. And our second main phase, really what we want to talk about tonight, is we have a few things that are out there right now. The first thing being, obviously, there has been another Pioneer banning.
Yep.
So
another round came through.
Yep, that came through today. Doesn't say when it was announced, but I think it was probably right before air.
Yeah.
So what they've banned is, no shock at all, Once Upon a Time, Field of the Dead, and Smuggler's Copter. Effective tomorrow. Next banning date will be next week, December 9th. They go through in the list here, and you can find it. Just go on to Google and look up Pioneer December 2nd banning. They say they banned Smuggler's Copter for the strength of mono black aggro and other aggro. They banned Field of the Dead because of ramp deck. They're saying Field of the Dead ramp deck. Ugh. Field of the Dead ramp decks are suppressing controlling and reactive decks. And they're saying that the dominance of green decks as a group, in other words, we still ain't nerfed green, with Once Upon a Time being a key factor of those decks' success. No surprises here, sort of. In fact, I think we were all surprised last week when there wasn't one.
No, that didn't surprise me because the reasoning they gave was that, listen, there's a whole bunch of PTQs going on this week for Pioneer. We don't want to throw everybody's preparation into the dumpster by banning cards now. We're going to wait and see, probably confirm their suspicions on what they think should be banned. And sure enough, those three cards were probably on the top of the list anyway.
Here's the problem I've got with the weekly banning. I like aggressive banning a little bit. I like fixing broken things. But I don't know that the format has shook itself out yet.
No, it hasn't. But they did say that they're going to sort of take their foot off the gas a little bit towards the end of the year. And they said that they're hoping by the early part of next year that the Pioneer Band and Restricteds are going to just be when the other ones are announced.
Well, that would be good.
So it's going to roll in with the rest.
I worry that you're hurting yourself now with, again, we're being critical of Wizards. I think these...
We love you guys, really, seriously.
I do believe, though, that going to too many bannings, okay, especially with something that you just banned in Standard when you should have banned it in... You know what? They should have announced it with Once Upon a Time last week.
Yeah.
They absolutely should have, because what that would have done is prevented somebody from, you know, holding on to that card for a Pioneer deck. And again, I don't necessarily agree with it because it's like... You know, it is a brand new card. You're banning it in Pioneer. And people are, you know, have been getting them for their decks. I think that's the problem I'm having with this quick ban rotation is that, really, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You haven't built a Pioneer deck yet.
No, I have not. I've been waiting to see how, you know, what falls before I invest in the format. And... given what I've seen so far, again, going back to what you were saying earlier about how they should have banned Once Upon a Time in Pioneer when they did it in Standard, they were, again, waiting for these PTQ results because they've been doing it so quickly, they didn't want to influence tournaments, big tournaments that were happening that week because people would have had to change their strategies. And I get that. And I kind of like that they did. They gave it an extra week to sort of confirm, let the format breathe a little bit, see if maybe the community would come up with a solution on its own. They obviously didn't. But going back to the original point, I have not built a Pioneer deck yet. I have my eye on a couple, but I've been waiting to see whether or not key cards in those decks get banned. And until I know for sure that that's not going to happen, or at least, you know, a reasonable expectation that it's going to be a few weeks before it happens, I'm not going to plunk down $50 to $100 for a playset on a card.
Yeah, and that's true. And... I've built a bunch of Pioneer decks. I don't know how competitive they're going to be. They're fun for me. I like the mono red deck I built. I love the God Pharaoh's Gift deck I built. But, you know, and energy, well, it makes me sad that that's not a thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do think that they're banning a little too quick. I'm glad they're going to take their foot off the gas a little bit. Let the format shake out. Like, and here's the thing. Don't forget, in 6 weeks, you know, we have a new set. Theros comes out, and... okay, now things are going to change again. So I'm glad, you know, of that. But again, we're not a Pioneer podcast. You know, we're the Standard podcast. So, but we are always going to talk about Pioneer because they're kind of very similar. And we like to talk about Magic, but our focus is going to be this. But yes, there has been a Pioneer banning. Two of the main problem cards of the last 7 weeks have been nailed in Pioneer now. So you can't play Field of the Dead in Pioneer, and you can't play Once Upon a Time. And Smuggler's Copter, we all kind of knew that was coming. But with that, you know, we have another email here. Before we get going here, we're going to start getting ourselves into a wrap-up stage here. But Keaton223 emailed us last week as well. And he said, "Hey, Aramis, you know, I'm here. Why is it just Aramis?"
Yeah.
But anyway, I was curious to see your opinion on my Celestia Angel Life Gain deck. I'm currently trying to get the cards together for it, so I haven't been able to deck test any of it. Any tips on sideboard would also be greatly appreciated. And then he sent a link. So,
yeah.
What did you think, Aramis? You got to take a look at this before we got going tonight.
Well, taking a look at the list.
First of all, Once Upon a Time has to go away.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time has to go away. So that hurts the deck right there. Hopefully he didn't already order those because, ouch.
$57, right?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, they're still legal in Modern, and I'm pretty sure it sees play in Modern.
Well, I think it's going to see, yeah, it sees play in every format that possibly can.
I see why.
So.
It's one of the best cards they've printed in a long time. But just taking a cursory look at the deck, I'm looking at Azorius Control having a field day with this deck.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of got the old Golgari life game with the Wild Growth Walker and the surveil mechanic in there.
Well, and the curve seems kind of high. There's a lot of five drops and seven drops, and it's just. I mean, I can see a little bit of ramp, but there's not a ton of ramp.
Yeah, this deck's going to be slow.
I mean,
if you're playing
Llanowar Elves, you want to play four, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, especially now that Once Upon a Time is going away.
And I would actually suggest if you're going to play Llanowar Elves, I mean, like that, it's like not just playing three of them, but you're going to need, for as much ramp as you've got, you need Paradise Druid. Like, you have very little ramp in regards to that.
Yeah, I mean, probably replace the Once Upon a Times with Paradise Druids.
Yeah.
But it just, for me, it's I can sort of see what he's trying to do.
Shalai is perfect. I'm sorry. I love her. And I would probably take out a 4-drop. I might take Gazella out, even though she transforms into something cool.
Yeah. I'd put Gazella and Bruno combined together, and I can see that.
Find someplace, maybe take out a Johnny. I'm not sure. One of the Ajani's. Because I got to tell you, if you're going to play Shalai and you're only playing two, Helm of the Host. If you can get a Helm of the Host with Shalai on the battlefield, you're going to run. Because you're hexproof, your creatures are hexproof, and Shalai is hexproof.
I mean, again, Divine Supreme Verdict kind of ruins your day.
Yeah, but you've got to, you know, still, if you can get in one or two good shots.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know personally. Well, here's the biggest disclaimer. I don't have enough experience with Pioneer to really give a great breakdown of the deck. So sideboard, I wouldn't begin to be able to tell you. But as far as the main deck, to me it looks kind of slow. But it looks like the kind of strategy that if he can get it to work, it looks like it's pretty cool. I don't know how competitive he's hoping to be with it.
It's definitely a brew. You can tell it's a brew. Yeah. And I for one think he's better at that than I would have been.
He's way better at brewing than I am.
It looks like it would be a fun deck. You may want to find, and I understand what you're doing there. I think you're thinking the surveil mechanic in the lower, you know, to ramp itself up, try to stay alive, yada yada, and then switch it up into, you know, your big bad creatures at the end. It's a mid range strategy. The problem is, in the format right now as it stands, especially with Standard being so militantly amazing on green, there's a lot of power that you're going to be susceptible to. I would be concerned that the reason I say Paradise Druid is, in this format right now, with Fatal Pushes and things of that nature, like, without a Paradise Druid, which can be hexproof so that you can keep your Mana Dork on the field and keep her alive, at least until you tap her, like, you need to do that. Otherwise, maybe throw a couple of Leyline of Sanctities in there. Try to get yourself, you know, that'll cut down your Thought Erasure, that'll cut down Thought Seize, that'll cut down on Duress. You know, at least if you can throw two Leylines in there, then they can't really see your deck.
Yeah, and the deck kind of folds to Languish, too.
Yeah, it's going to fold to Languish huge. And it's going to fold to that. There's that creature in Standard now that makes everybody lose flying and become like a 3-3 Archon or something. Like, there's...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't see that scene playing Pioneer, but yeah, there's a lot of ways to sort of neuter what the deck is trying to do. But at the same time, I'm not going to discourage you from playing the deck.
No, not a bit. If you've designed this and put it together, I am 100% for you playing it. So
hopefully he can find, you know, the right tool. The big thing for me that hurts is that he has Once Upon a Time, and I'm like, again, I'm hoping he didn't order those already, or that he can get a refund, or hopefully he's planning to play them in Modern or Casual or something. But I think it definitely is a good first draft of a deck. I would hope that after testing he can find some good ways to tweak it. It could be good. I mean, it's just, for me, again, I don't have enough experience with the other decks in the format to really give a great opinion, so take anything that we're saying here with lots and lots of grains of salt.
Yeah, because... let's see here. Yeah, it's definitely a great deck. I highly recommend it. And we really do want to thank you, Keaton, for writing in. And please continue writing in. Maybe send us an update. Let us know what you do.
Yes, please let us know how the deck does.
And before we go to End Step tonight, I want to go ahead. Normally we do this in End Step, but because it's the big bad... you know, it's the end of the month, so... We got over 5 reviews. We don't have any new ones from last week, so that's fine. So we do have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 new ones. So we only have 6 because I'm not going to let What's-His-Face win again. My butt cannot win twice. So I'm going to go ahead, and actually I'll show this on the screen so people can see. If you're looking on our iTunes, okay, top to bottom, actually, they may not have the same thing. So, let me ask you this. Are you on your phone?
I am on my phone.
All right. Is the top review, the first one you see is J_Sire, and the last one you see, Johnny the Main?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to count Rochester Computer Guy. They already won one, and I'm not going to count my butt, so there's 6.
Okay.
So, okay. What I'm going to do here right now is... Hold on. I'm going to show the screen here. We're going to use the Google thing. So this is our big bad drawing. The winner of this gets 3 free arena packs for just for doing it. And again, unless you've won, you're always entered to draw. So let's make this solo. So as you can see, I've got a minimum of 1 to 6. So Jay Sire is 1. Smitty is 2. Noli Poli is 3, Hanno is 4, Goose is 5, and Johnny is 6. I am going to, since there's 6, I'm going to click this 6 times. All right? And on number 6, that'll be the winner. So here we go. 1. It didn't do it. There it goes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 5, which would be the Goose 3M. Are you in concurrence, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, Goose 3M. Email us right away, dude. It's a podcast at Planestalkers Podcast. And what I'll have you do is update your that's a good way to do it. Johnny did, or my butt did the same thing last month. If to win, what you'll do is you'll email us, and then you'll go in and change something in this, change the wording or whatever, so the date changes. He put in here, as a new MTG player, I appreciate the focus on casual standard format. Look forward to the discussions every week. Thanks. So the Goose, you have won 3, count them, 3 booster packs for Arena. And I do have the codes. As soon as you contact us, either through our Facebook page using the chat feature, or or contact us through email, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. And we will go ahead and get you your stuff. But we want to thank you guys for doing that. So that right there will bring us right into it.
End Step.
All right, we're at End Step now. And as Aramis and I are picking up our table and rolling up our playmats, putting the cards back in the case, we want to remind you guys, and by the way, make sure you clean up your food because, damn it, your mother doesn't work here. We wanted to remind you guys that we both stream Arena on the Planestalkers Podcast channel. Not too much lately, but we're working on that. On Twitch, you can look up Planestalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMACWRX. I didn't stream last week because of the holiday. I'm hoping to stream this Wednesday night, either some standard or some draft, figure something out. I do think that once the Vintage Cube goes up on Magic Online, I'll probably do some Vintage Cube drafts because that format is awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll try to see if I can get that going. So again, RMACWRX on Twitch. I link all of my streams to the Planestalkers Podcast channel as well, so if you follow one of us, you're going to get the content anyway. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson, and of course you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planestalker Podcast and like and follow our page there. Actually, I think it's just Planestalkers too. Go to Facebook.com/Planestalkers. And you'll find us right there. And don't forget, Planestalkers is also our 5% off code at Kerwin's Game Store's web store. Just go to kerwinsgamestore.com and you'll get 5% off your order. It's perfect for the holiday season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. I've used it once.
Oh, boy. Finally, you can send us emails like you've been doing. Thank you for that. And even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section. That's probably why he said Dear Aramis.
No, I think he just likes you better.
Well, you know. One of us has to be the nice one.
Yeah, and that's definitely not me. I'm a jerk. Yeah, absolutely. Don't let the Santa beard fool you.
He's more of like a Krampus. Anyway, so the Ask Aramis section where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices, provided I have experience in the format, of course. And if you also just want to send us an email to see how the show, you know, let us know how the show is doing, or if you have a suggestion for something we could talk about, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, just as we did at the end of the show here tonight, we're going to do another one this month. As long as we get 5 more reviews before January 1st, we'll do another drawing for 3 more Arena booster packs in... I think they're Throne of Eldraine. I'm not sure which type they are, but it doesn't matter. You're going to get a certain number of booster packs just for leaving us a review. It doesn't have to even be positive. We'd prefer positive. Because it does like it. It helps to bring more visibility to the show. Go into iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, just download iTunes on your computer. You can also leave us a review there. Look us up. I don't have a way to really check the Google Store reviews or anything like that. So if you are on an Android and you're leaving us stuff there, if you take a screenshot, I'm willing to enter you in. I just need to be able to find, you know, some way to verify. Take a screenshot of the review and we'll put you in on this as well. But we'll be doing the drawing for the first show in January next month, which might also be our 1-year anniversary show, if I'm not mistaken. So,
I believe so.
So
yeah.
With that, though, we're going to go ahead. We want to encourage you to do that, but we want to go ahead and thank you guys very much for sticking us out tonight. It was a cornucopia show. We really weren't sure what we were going to talk about. But we're really glad you hung around with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next Monday night to talk about all the stuff that's happened this week in Standard and Magic. We thank you again. So for Aramis Perez, I am Will Benson. Thank you for listening and reminding you to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week.